Good morning. Welcome to our service, and a particular welcome to all visitors that we have worshipping with us this morning. Please join us in the church hall for tea or coffee following the service. This morning, I have a couple of intimations in addition to those that you already have on the order of service. The first is that the Kirk Christmas card is now on sale at the edge of the Fair Trade stand in the hall every Sunday, £2.50 for a pack of five. The shoebox appeal. Last year, the shoebox appeal collected and handed out 121,474 boxes to adults and children in nine countries over Asia and Eastern Europe. And this is a reminder from Carol Sinclair that our Shoebox Sunday is next Sunday, the 5th of November. Any filled shoeboxes have to be brought to church that day or can be left at the Kirk Centre up to Friday lunchtime. After church in the main hall today, empty wrapped shoeboxes will be available to buy for £1, and the money will go to the appeal. If you've got any questions about this, speak to Carol in the main hall afterwards. I'm pleased to be able to inform you that the nominating committee has unanimously nominated the Reverend Shuna Dix of Aberlour Parish Church to preach as sole nominee for the vacancy at Cults Parish Church. Shuna has formally accepted the nomination and will conduct public worship here 10:30 on Sunday, the 26th of November. Immediately following that service, those members of the congregation present who are on the electoral roll will be balloted, and provided more than 50% are in favour, we will be able to call her as the new minister. The nominating committee, and I guess the new minister as well, will be looking for a strong show of support, and I urge you all to come along on the 26th. I've now met Shuna on a number of occasions, and I'm convinced that she is an excellent nominee. I know, however, that you all really want to know a bit more. So I asked her for a short bio, and it goes as follows. Shuna is married to Neil, and they have two grown-up children, Kirsty and Andy, both of whom live in Aberdeen. The family also consists of Scampi the cat and dogs Ralph and Yaz, who all take their roles as man's pets very seriously. She's been minister at Aberlour Church for almost 8 years. A Northeast Quine born and bred, having been born in Deeside and growing up just outside Keith. Following a career in community development, Shuna sensed a call to ministry whilst working with the Board of Parish Education as a regional development worker. In her spare time, Shuna plays the flugelhorn with the Keith and District Brass Silver Band, and Shuna and Neil love to travel, and Shuna enjoys researching and planning holidays at home and abroad. Shuna is really looking forward to leading worship on the 26th of November and to meeting everyone and getting to know you all. And in connection with that service on the 26th, I have an edict to read. Here we go. At a meeting held at Cults Kirk Centre on Sunday, the 22nd of October 2017, the nominating committee chose the person who they wish to propose to this congregation of Cults Parish Church to be our new minister. The name of the person proposed is the Reverend Shuna M. Dix. Arrangements have been made for the Reverend Shuna M. Dix to conduct public worship in this church on Sunday, the 26th day of November 2017 at 10:30 a.m. o'clock. Immediately after that service, there will be a vote on whether or not Shuna M. Dix should be appointed as the new minister of this congregation of Cults Parish Church. Anyone whose name appears on the electoral register of this congregation of Cults Parish Church shall be entitled to vote. No one else shall be entitled to vote. Kenneth L. Petrie, interim moderator. And you'll hear that a couple of times before we get there. I'm delighted to be able to welcome this morning Martin Gregg. Martin is an elder at Holborn West and is a reader in training. Martin, welcome to Cults. Thank you.
From Psalm 1. Happy are those who do not listen to the advice of wrongdoers, who do not walk with sinners, who do not sit with those who have no use for God. They love the Lord's teachings, and they think about those teachings day and night. They are strong like a tree planted by a river. The tree produces fruit in season, and its leaves do not wither. Everything they do will succeed. Amen. Let us worship God. The God of Abraham, praise, who reigns enthroned above, ancient of everlasting days and God of love. Hymn 162, the God of Abraham, praise. Let us now approach Almighty God in prayer and seek his mercy and his loving presence. Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, you are forever faithful and true to us, your people. How excellent is your name in all the earth. We honor and praise you, God of heaven and earth. You call us to follow Jesus, but instead many times we follow the world. Too often we put our trust in material things things that we can only see and touch. We confess that sometimes we forget you. Sometimes we question whether you are really there, and we do not seek and move towards you as we wander around in the darkness. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Save us from ourselves and show us your way according to your abundant mercy. Wipe away our sins and guilt. Guide us in our thoughts and in our actions so that we can live as you call us to live. You are patiently waiting for us to recognize your presence and your glory. So forgive us when we fail to recognize that you are always already close by. We praise you because you never abandon us. You comfort us. You give us strength and grace. You guide us on the right path, and you lead us to peace and joy. Be with us. Bless our time of worship together here in Cults Church. Almighty God, you can see inside the heart of every person in this room. And you know in detail every wound, every broken spirit, every pain, every weakness, every shameful secret, every suffering. Open our eyes to see you. Open our hearts to love you. And open our hands to serve you. And we join together in one voice, saying the words that Jesus taught us in the words of the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Later this morning, in our first Bible reading, we will hear of Moses' journey up a mountain at the close of his life. But let's begin at the start of Moses' life, when he was born in Egypt as one of the minority of Hebrew people. And at the time of his birth, when Moses was born, the Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, ordered that all Hebrew boys must be drowned. The Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, was afraid of the power and the presence of these faithful people of God. And it's well known that Moses' mother was profoundly afraid for the life of her baby son, Moses. And rather than seeing him harmed or lost, she placed him in a basket and put this basket with Moses inside onto the River Nile. And her hope was that in this way, her son would be given at least a chance of finding safety in a new home. As he has for all of us, God had a plan for Moses. And unknown to that mother of Moses, that plan was to safely deliver the baby into a new loving family. And there in that secure and caring place, Moses was looked after, and he was able to grow up and flourish. His life was mapped out in some mysterious way, because Moses was destined to be God's special servant, and he grew into a great prophet who guided God's people into a secure future with God. All his life long, Moses dedicated himself to nurturing and protecting God's family. And his special leadership skills were realized and actioned through so many acts of love. Despite the potential for dangers, Moses was always protected from harm. And that, as we know, started when he was a baby in that basket on a journey down a river. We will hear in that reading of that end, those last moments of Moses on the mountain with God. At that time also, he remained, of course, in God's hands. That time on the mountain, that was not a trip for pleasure or for enjoyment of the view, such as we might do nowadays. And indeed, for many of us, a mountain, going up a mountain, can be a leisure activity. A mountain can mean so many things in our lives. Climbing a mountain is certainly a process that demands energy and focus, a certain amount of stamina and determination. Sometimes you may not have climbed a physical mountain like Benahi or Ben Lomond, but in the day-to-day struggle, as we face the challenges of daily life, it may seem even more difficult than the hard slog of going up the rock face to deal with things. And it's possible to have a mountain in your mind that has to be overcome. One step at a time, we may struggle on upwards to surmount difficulties which can perhaps appear on occasion to be impossible to deal with. But there are obviously benefits in climbing a mountain. Why else would we do it? There is not just the view is one of the benefits, but God took Moses up a mountain in order for him to have a particular vision, a vision of seeing and understanding that God most definitely had a plan for Moses and also for each one of us. The purpose of taking Moses up was to show that there is a plan for us to live together. Even though the detail is unclear, God inspires us to care for each other, and he calls upon us to share his everlasting support with each other. And that is a call to look after and protect each other at all times. Even when we are at our weakest and most vulnerable state, and all life long, as members of God's family, we must do what we can to share God's love and peace. In Psalm 1, which we heard at the start, the words reminded us that there are two directions available for us to take. There's a path for us to take that's pleasing to God. We can move towards a place of care and of love. We can say yes to Jesus, in other words, and we can find a way that helps and serves each other. But on the other hand, there is a bleak alternative of being in a dark place and of ignoring the needs of others. So in order to be happy and blessed, we have to actively seek out God's mysterious presence and become part of the living and breathing process of healing and loving, because we belong in that home where we share his light and his grace. So often we get lost, and our challenge is how to know and to recognize how far we have come off of the right path. We need to be able to make that distinction and to see our distance from what God wants us to do. And we need to do what we can to return back home into his embrace of love and peace. Jesus left us with his peace. Jesus said, I am leaving you with a gift of peace of mind and of heart. And the peace that I give is a gift that the world cannot give. So do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Amen. As we prepare ourselves to listen to God's holy word, let's seek out the inspiration of Jesus that can change the world and bring his peace. So let's sing a hymn of praise. Praise to the holiest in the height, and in the depth be praise. In all his words, most wonderful, most sure in all his ways. Let's come together in hymn 378. Hymn 378.
Today's first reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 1 to 12, the death of Moses. Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Mount Pisgah, east of Jericho, and there the Lord showed him the whole land, the territory of Gilead, as far north as the town of Dan, the entire territory of Naphtali, the territories of Ephraim and Manasseh, the territory of Judah, as far west as the Mediterranean Sea, the southern part of Judah, and the plain that reaches from Zoar to Jericho, the city of palm trees. Then the Lord said to Moses, "This is the land that I promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob I would give to their descendants. I have let you see it, but I will not let you go there." So Moses, the Lord's servant, died there in the land of Moab, as the Lord had said he would. The Lord buried him in a valley in Moab, opposite the town of Beth-peor, but to this day, no one knows the exact place of his burial. Moses was 120 years old when he died. He was as strong as ever, and his eyesight was still good. The people of Israel mourned for him for 30 days in the plains of Moab. Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with wisdom because Moses had appointed him to be his successor. The people of Israel obeyed Joshua and kept the commands that the Lord had given them through Moses. There has never been a prophet in Israel like Moses. The Lord spoke with him face to face. No other prophet has ever done miracles and wonders like those that the Lord sent Moses to perform against the king of Egypt, his officials, and the entire country. No other prophet has been able to do the great and terrifying things that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Second reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. Paul's work in Thessalonica. Our brothers, you yourselves know that our visit to you was not a failure. You know how we had already been ill-treated and insulted in Philippi before we came to you in Thessalonica. And even though there was much opposition, our God gave us courage to tell you the good news that comes from him. Our appeal to you is not based on error or impure motives, nor do we try to trick anyone. Instead, we always speak as God wants us to, because he has judged us worthy to be entrusted with the good news. We do not try to please men, but to please God, who tests our motives. You know very well that we did not come to you with flattering talk, nor did we use words to cover up greed. God is our witness. We did not try to get praise from anyone, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we could have made demands on you. But we were gentle when we were with you, like a mother taking care of her children. Because of our love for you, we were ready to share with you not only the good news from God, but even our own lives. You were so dear to us. Third reading is from Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 46. The Great Commandment. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they came together, and one of them, a teacher of the law, tried to trap him with a question. Teacher, he asked, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the most important commandment. The second most important commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. The whole law of Moses and the teachings of the prophets depend on these two commandments. When some Pharisees gathered together, Jesus asked them, what do you think about the Messiah? Whose descendant is he? He is David's descendant, they answered. Why then, Jesus asked, did the Spirit inspire David to call him Lord? David said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit here on my right until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David called him Lord, how can the Messiah be David's descendant? No one was able to give Jesus any answer, and from that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions.
Amen, and thanks be to God for the reading and hearing of his holy word. Lord, may we know your blessing when we read your holy word and when we speak of it. Open our eyes to see Jesus. Open our hearts to love him more and more. Encourage us to do what you want us to do so that your name may be glorified. Amen. We heard in that first reading about Moses and about the end of his life. And I think that, generally speaking, we probably have a fairly certain and conventional image of Moses that's quite familiar. We often have a picture of his physical characteristics through cinema and through illustrations, a picture of a slightly larger than life figure, perhaps, someone bearded and wearing some form of antique, noble clothing. And I think that the impression is to show how pure and perfect he was as a mighty prophet. He surely would have had what we now call star quality, and he must undoubtedly have had considerable powers of charisma. He seems to be the sort of fellow that we need to get us out of a crisis. And so often we lament not having someone who is able to inspire and lead. Today we feel that such a great leader would help us no matter what calamity is befalling us. There can be situations in our personal lives or in the community or even nationally when the support and guidance of such a positive figure is needed for the benefit of all. But Moses was an unlikely hero. He was fallible. He was a modest person, and he seemed to be acutely aware of his own limitations. It seems that he had doubts about his own character and his own abilities. He lacked skills in speaking. He described himself as heavy of mouth and heavy of tongue. And we usually interpret this as meaning that he had some kind of speech issue. But I tend to think that he was just tongue-tied, which is, let's face it, a common situation for so many. It often happens when you don't feel sure that you don't know how best to say just the right thing at the right time in the right way. Although always loyal and faithful to God, Moses was full of questions. And he kept asking, "Why are you calling on me, Lord? Why choose me? Why do I have to do these difficult things in leading your people?" He was a very thoughtful person, critical, inquisitive, and just maybe there was a link between his self-doubt and his very active questioning attitude. It's clear that Moses had a vision of what God wanted him to do as part of God's mysterious plan. And Moses surely trusted God and accepted his will. He would have known that all good things, happiness, well-being, prosperity, peaceful existence, all come from following God's plan. And in that psalm that we heard in Psalm 1, there's mentioned the symbol of a flourishing tree that produces fruit. And I think that that's a very appropriate metaphor to tell us of the benefits and the blessings that come from following God. And Moses certainly worked tirelessly to bring God's love and his peace to this world. Like us, Moses struggled to help others in his work in seeing and actioning God's plan. Moses always had that special vision of the time of God's special favor for his people. And he wanted God's love in the world to help people who are suffering. He wanted to set the prisoner free and to give sight to the blind. How difficult it is to live up to that calling, to be a saint. The world so often tells us to do the opposite of what the Bible says. The messages that we hear around us so often are about focusing exclusively on our own desires alone. The conventional approach seems to promote selfishness and indeed to be self-indulgent. And is this not a key worry that we share in today's world that is so heavily defined by consumerism? sometimes there is instability and difficulties that we experience in our journey as we struggle to share God's love instead of simply focusing on unduly on the love of things. Moses battled on, and he probably felt troubled by his own limitations in not being able to achieve what he really wanted to do. And that's a feeling that we can all identify with, because God can seem very far away for each of us at various times. But despite this, through the events of daily life and through the distractions that we encounter, he is always there. Sometimes we do feel abandoned, and maybe this has happened to you recently, as it has to me. We can each of us endure harsh pains when we experience loss in the form of separation from others. And these are feelings that can seem overwhelming, as if we have been brought right up to the edge of the darkness. Psalm 22 is a real favorite of mine. You may know this psalm. I find it a very rewarding text, and I keep coming back to it. Perhaps some of you do this as well. It opens with the words of agony that Jesus repeated on the cross. Psalm 22 begins, "My God, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I have cried out desperately for help? But still it does not come. During the day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. I cry out at night, but I find no rest." Amen. When we are in the darkness or in despair, also when things feel monotonous, dull or boring, we know that we can call on Almighty God to lead us back into light and hope. Psalm 22 continues, "But you are enthroned as the Holy One, the one whom Israel praises. Our ancestors put their trust in you. They trusted you, and you saved them. They called to you, and they escaped from danger. They trusted you and were not disappointed. They will speak of the Lord to the coming generations. People not yet born will be told, 'The Lord saved his people.'" The reading that we heard from Deuteronomy tells of Moses being led up onto a mountain at the close of his life. And that passage is so very much about seeing and appreciating the difference between the darkness that we find so often in this world and the light of heaven that we long for. That is a light that lifts us up into an eternal space of love and peace. Throughout the book of Deuteronomy, in particular, we read of how Moses was able to give God's spirit and his truth to the faithful. Moses persisted through challenges and skirmishes and so many difficulties. He kept leading. He kept going through the good times and the bad. And this passage of his death is right at the very end of the first five books of the Bible, which are also called the books of Moses or the Torah. And on the face of it, it seems that this section of the Bible that closes in a very strange way with the great prophet Moses being deprived of the promise that he has faithfully worked towards. Moses wanted to take his people into God's hands, where they would be safe forevermore. And the question is, why was he denied the chance to enter into this special holy place where he had labored so hard to reach? He came to the edge, and he was shown the divide between this world and what he had ultimately hoped to achieve as the last things. And it seems that he did fulfill the hope which he had fought for, because he did not reach that perfect heavenly union of space and love for all. He did fulfill that hope. It's perhaps disappointing that Moses was guided towards this place of loving peace, and yet was only permitted to see it from afar, from a mountain. He wasn't allowed to enter into that territory. That was his final destination, it would appear. But Moses was already blessed. He had already, in this world, shared God's love tirelessly by leading others and showing them how to gain God's favor. And Moses was the greatest of the prophets, but he also had a great intimacy with God, because God knew Moses face to face. For example, in witnessing the burning bush, they had a direct encounter. God never abandons anyone, and he certainly never abandoned Moses. He kept him safe and secure. And in the Bible, we read that God even buried Moses. And that demonstrates the intimacy between them. On that mountain, God is telling us of his promise that the community of faithful believers will have a place of safety and peace. A safe stronghold, our God is still, a bulwark never failing. God's family is guaranteed a home where all will come back together from fragmented, distant places, and we will dwell in a place where all will be healed and made whole again. A place where we will prosper and flourish. We all belong in God's family with Moses the prophet. And like Moses, in our own individual ways, we are each called to that very same task, which is to move God's way forward in this world in some way, and for the benefit of God's family. And we do this in the circumstances of our daily lives. In order to do this, we can be inspired through the Bible, through prayer, through coming to worship, and through doing God's work in our service. Essentially, our task is to reach out to others and to move forwards, to strive towards that holy place of love and peace, and to aspire to reach it. God guided Moses up a mountain, and he gave him the gift of seeing the difference between what is actual and present and here, and what is possible. It is the difference between what is and what may be. Moses was blessed to see this, to have that precious knowledge. And that gift was a further expression of the love between Moses and God. And it's a gift that Moses has been sharing with his people all along, down through all the generations. This very hopeful vision comes alive for us as we do all that we can to be part of the living, breathing body of Jesus, who is the light of the world. Moses did God's work as far as God wanted him to, through ministering to God's people. He moved God's work forward in the world. And there are many, many other examples in the Bible of how that brilliant, shining love of the faithful is brought forward, that love that God has for each one of us. He never stops loving us unconditionally. He never withdraws his mercy and his care from us. Even though we can find it difficult to maintain our connection with God and with his ways, we have, thanks to the glorious words of Jesus and thanks to his life, we have a way that could not be clearer for us to show how we can walk with God. We can do all we can to appreciate the promise of that light, and we can do all we can to bring this light into the world in some way. In our gospel reading this morning, Jesus told us how to live faithfully and how to find his everlasting love and peace. Our hearts and our minds and our hands have to be stretched out to love God as our only aim, and also to love each other as well. I think very often love is thought of as a very vague, warm sense of contentment. But Jesus said, love each other as I have loved you. And the love that Jesus showed to us took him to the suffering of the cross. And that is not a blurred or dreamy kind of love. Because on the cross, Jesus endured the extremes of suffering for us. The forgiving love of the cross is giving and humble. And it's not about ourselves. It's about what we can do for others in the name of Jesus. How we can give of ourselves in the service of others. And that is a responsibility that will at times bring discomfort and even pain. And that's not about making grand gestures or about aspiring to be some kind of hero. There's no real way to conceal what God's commands mean to us in our daily lives. Psalm 1 underlined how God alone gives meaning to life. The goal of life is not about ourselves in a self-centered way. We have to measure up to his call to love God and each other. And there are so many obstacles, because our calling to serve God's family of love can become overcomplicated and quite simply just appears an entanglement. And we heard, for example, in the Bible, in that gospel reading, how the religious leaders tried to trap Jesus with a kind of entanglement. They asked Jesus, how do you live faithfully in the service of God? They wanted to muddle him up, and they wanted to confuse God's commands, because the puzzling uncertainty that would result would be to their personal advantage. That religious hierarchy that we heard in the gospel said that ministering God's word was about rigidly following precise rules. And of course, Jesus rejected this pointless, unhelpful approach. Jesus has reminded us all along the way that God's merciful love must rule us, all of us, in our minds, in our spirit, and in our bodies. Not the precise, changeable rules, but we must seek the everlasting love of God. It is possible to be so inflexible that we lose sight of God's purpose for us, and we can create false divisions between each other so that we can ignore people who we judge to be weak or of no value or different to us. We can ourselves make things more complicated than they should be, and we can become in this way blind to the needs and to the value of others. All of us in God's family, all people of good will share the same universal need for love and respect. We are like light for the whole world. And Jesus said, "A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a bowl. Instead, it is put on a lampstand where it gives light for everyone in the house. Therefore, in the same way, your light must shine before people so that they will see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven." Amen. May we continue the work and mission handed down through all the generations since Moses and from before Moses. Through our bodies and through our activities, may we give life and form to the body of Jesus, who is God with us. Amen. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, that you let us see your vision. Strengthen us to become what you wish us to be. Let us realize our potential to see our glorious future in Jesus, the risen Lord. Give us power and inspiration to see him and to walk in his ways all the days of our lives. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Now, with pride and joy in our hearts, let's say the words of the Apostles' Creed. We will stand together to confirm our faith. These words are hymn 628. Hymn 628. Let us stand to say the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Your offering will now be received. Let us pray. Living God, you spoke to Moses through the burning bush. The fire burned, and yet the bush was not consumed. In the same way, inspire us so that we can be dedicated to your loving purpose. You call us to do your will. By your Holy Spirit, empower us to trust you completely. Inspire us always as we seek to use our gifts and our service to follow in the way and the truth and the life of Jesus the Son, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. Amen. May I take this opportunity to thank you for giving me the privilege of being here with you this morning. I'm very grateful for this chance to share in worship with you in this place and at this time. And I wish in particular that God's blessing will be with you as you continue through the process of finding your new minister. My prayers will be with you during all this time as you move towards that call. Jesus told us that through his holy word, God will hear our prayers. So let's call out to Almighty God from our hearts and seek his grace and his healing presence for the sake of other people and for ourselves in prayers of the faithful. Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we come together this morning and we thank you for hearing us and for your forgiveness and healing. We thank you for the joy and the beauty of life in all its richness. We pray for the whole community of the faithful. We pray that your word may reach to the ends of the earth. Guide us in the faith. Open our eyes. Help us to be of service to others in your name. We lift up to you the whole congregation here at Cults and all who are connected. We thank you for guiding and inspiring the committee at Cults Parish Church in their responsibilities of calling a new minister. Through your Holy Spirit, we ask you to continue to support and guide everyone here, and especially Shuna, in responding to your holy call. May you be with Shuna and the congregation. Bring your light and your blessings to this place as all involved work together to do your will here on earth as it is in heaven. God of mercy, we pray for all who govern and who have influence in the world. May they be driven by compassion and by a spirit of care and reconciliation. Bless your servant Elizabeth, our Queen. God of love, we pray for people who are in need and facing difficulty. Sometimes we feel weary or in pain. Sometimes our bones can hurt. Our hearts can feel heavy. Lord, encourage us and give us strength. The road ahead can seem a difficult upward climb into uncertainty. We think of those who are afraid and vulnerable, or who are ill or under stress, and those who are lonely. Comfort them all. Comfort your people. Comfort those who we know and those who we don't know. Share with us all the relief of your healing presence. Lift us up with your inspiring spirit. May we climb into your presence. We pray so that all wrongdoing and all worries and all tears will be wiped away. Let us see and hear joy and gladness, so that those who are broken may rejoice. God of calm, give your stillness to all who are facing illness or surgery or any uncertainty. Give your strength to those on the journey of loss. May your love surround them and comfort them. We take a few moments of silence to offer our private prayers spoken from the heart. With endless thanks, we remember the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, and we remember the promise of everlasting life. We are confident that the forgiving love of the cross is for all time. Help us as we long for this love that brings all things back together and makes us whole again. Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, you have made us one with all the saints in heaven and on earth. May we all know and feel your strength to meet the days ahead as we pray through the light and the peace of Jesus, who is the bright morning star. Amen. The beam that shines from Zion Hill shall lighten every land. Let us close, let us sing our closing hymn, which is 715, hymn 715, Behold the Mountain of the Lord. Go out and speak God's word of life and hope. Do not be afraid, but trust in his holy word. Be generous towards others because of all the good things that God has given you. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and with those who are dear to us this day and forevermore.